I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about the concept of being all in. And what brought this to my mind was a story that one of our evangelists was relating about a brother in Christ who had being diagnosed with a very virulent and aggressive form of cancer. And anyway, the guy, you know, he knows that his time is coming to a quick end. And he told our brother that, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in. Everything that I've got, my soul focus, I've gone all in. Everything that I have, everything that I am, I'm all in with Christ. And when I heard this story, I got to thinking about it, and I was thinking, can I say that? Can I say that I'm all in? We were talking to a young man earlier this week. And, all right. About his future. And, specifically his immediate, the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, and whether he wanted to attempt to play college sports, because there had been shown some interest, you know, some people wanted him to come over there and play. And he had made the statement when we asked him about it that, you know, I think I'm going to go over there and try it out, see if I enjoy it. And then we'll go from there. And I quickly informed him that you can't do that, because if you go in with that half-baked attitude of, I'm going to try it, if I enjoy it, you're not going to succeed. It's the type of thing that you... if you're all in, you're setting yourself up for success. and when we're involved with commitment and devotion, it's like that with everything. You know, the jobs that we hold, the way we raise our families, a man's commitment to his wife, a wife's commitment to her husband, those things, when they are complete, are successful. But if you have any breakdown in there, on one side or the other, you're setting yourself up for trouble. and you say, well, when you say all in, can you be all in with God and then be fully committed to these different things? Can you be fully committed to your family, your job, the church, Jesus Christ? Can you do all that at the same time? It says over there in Colossians 3 and 23, and whatever ye do, do it heartily, and as to the Lord and not unto men. So this leads me to believe that when you set your mind on doing something and you do it unto the Lord, that you are all in. You're serving the Lord in everything that you do. When you go out there and do something as minuscule as lifting a weight because you want to be a better football player. You do that to the Lord, you're going to succeed. If I want to go out and dig ditches, I'm not in as good a shape as I once was, but I guarantee you, if I went out there and dug ditches unto the Lord, he would make me the best ditch digger that I could be. Over there in Matthew, we're going to read about the rich young man. Some people refer to him as the rich young ruler. Starting in verse 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good?" This is Christ. "There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" It's a pretty good guy here. He's a lot better than I've been in the past. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. That is a very sobering story right there. Because this fellow right here, he's upright. He's somebody that, you know, most people would respect. But he lacked that one thing. He wasn't all in. And he, you say, well, how in the world? You know, Jesus, look, if you look at this closer here, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now, I don't know if Jesus is actually offering him an apostleship, but he's certainly offering him a discipleship. That's some pretty powerful stuff there. But the man found that his possessions were too great to make that commitment, make that final step. Have you ever heard the term hedging your bets? The definition is risk management. The strategy you use to limit your offset or probability of loss. Now, you know, back in the Old West days and medieval days, this would probably refer to somebody that was gambling in some form or fashion. Today in the stock market, every good investment advisor will advise you to hedge your futures. You know, you don't want to all be, you don't have all your stuff in Coke and some in energy and some in, you know, these various things. That's what you want to do, because if one thing crashes, it doesn't ruin you. Over there in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was so, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and a great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church, upon as many as heard these things. That's hedging your bets. I think about the rich young ruler, and I think about this couple here that weren't willing to go all in. And when I was younger, I thought, man, how in the world could somebody that was right there, you know, in these events, seeing these miracles, and how could they not be all in? But you know what? I think that at one time or another, everybody in this congregation that is of the age of accountability has done this same thing. I know I have numerous times. You know, over here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. It's kind of an interesting thing that I got to digging through this, and I came across some deathbed confessions. People coming to the Lord when they knew their death was immediate. There's a lot of argument about Charles Darwin, the father of the lie of evolution, a preeminent scientist. But many people in the Christian community back in that time claimed that on his deathbed he confessed Christ and was baptized. I would like to believe that's true. There are several other stories about scientists and people of lesser repute, evil men that come to the Lord at that last moment. Talking to a guy about obeying the gospel, and he said, I guess I ought to go ahead and do that just in case there's a God. Now, that's hedging your bets right there. That's not being all in. You know? And I'll tell you a little story. Like I said, most of y'all know I grew up in church. At this time in my life, I was hedging my bets. It's been many years now ago, but I worked as a foreman for a company called Vibrawhirl, and we built these tennis courts, walking tracks, and walking paths for hospitals and high schools and colleges. And we'd travel around to these towns and go to the Texas Employment Commission, and we'd hire 15 or 20 guys, and we'd take them out and show them how to do stuff, and we'd build these tracks and tennis courts and stuff. Anyway, it was during the slow season, and I was taking a big old mixer, big old one-ton mixer, Tamarillo, to have it worked on. Went over there, got to the place, and their price was way too high. My boss told me, "No, just bring it back." So I'm coming back, decided to take a shortcut cut off going by Pantex, over there west of Panhandle. Guy ran a stop sign right there at the gates. He ran a stop sign, and I was going about 60. I swerved to miss him. He clipped the rear of my truck, and it was like slow motion. I felt that truck start lifting off the ground. Didn't have my seatbelt on. The truck rolled 3 times and flipped 3 times, is what the brick instructor said. But all I remember about it's this. Somewhere along that way, I remember going through the windshield, and I was up above the truck. Now, this all happened in a matter of, you know, but I was up above that truck seeing it roll underneath me. And it flashed through my mind, because in my heart, I knew I wasn't right. Flashed through my mind, I said, "Dear God, please forgive me of my sins." That's what I said. And I woke up in the middle of a wheat field with my right leg laying beside my head. And I'm going to tell you this. I didn't feel good about that, but I was sure thankful I was still alive. Because I tell you the truth, I know that I was hedging my bets, and I know that if it would have turned out different and I wouldn't have made it through that, I'm fully convinced that I would have been roasting in hell. And I believe that. That's hedging your bets. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do, do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him." Now, as humans, we tend to let our guard down in a general sense when we're going through good times. Bad times come around and looks kind of hopeless. A lot of us want to fall back on God, you know. And that's a good thing, but we should be with him at all times. We should be all in. We're going to read a little bit about Paul. Most of you know the story of Paul. You know, Paul, once he bowed a knee to the Lord, confessed his name, and was baptized, he was all in. All in. Talking about his travels and what he experienced in persecution. 2 Corinthians 11:24. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold, nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." Now this guy, man, he went through some serious trials. And we've been blessed that we don't have to go through these things. You know, this guy, he hungered a lot, he fasted, he was cold. This guy was uncomfortable. He was in fear of his life. Now you can see I don't miss many meals. So I haven't experienced any of this, you know. Now we may someday have to face some of these things, but if we could live up to the perseverance that Paul had and be all in to the end, that's the goal. Second Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Would that not be a sweet thing to say? Would that not be the ultimate? That when it comes our time to go, we can say that. We can believe that. We can be like the brother that stated as he grew near to death that he was all in. All his chips were on the Lord. He wasn't holding nothing back. To me, that right there grants peace of mind. It grants tranquility. It facilitates love with your family members to have this attitude and this goal.